And when Tiffany and I got married 26 years ago, I had major trust issues, and I didn't even know it. I had not dealt with the trauma of being sexually abused as a teenager. I hadn't dealt with that trauma. I had not dealt with the trauma of dealing with the unhealth that I grew up in the home that I grew up in. And we woke up. There was just a lot of unhealth that I did not deal with before I got married. So when I got married to Tiffany, I was always questioning her motives. Why'd you do that? Why'd you say that? I did not trust. I thought Tiffany was going to leave me. I thought I was going to come home, and I wasn't going to have a wife at home, because I just did not have trust. But I thank God for the work of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the great work of healing that God has done in my life, and he's taught me how to trust. Come on, how many know God changes lives? I thank God for the work of the Holy Spirit. But here's what I've learned now that I've lived a little bit of life. That a lot of people, not just me, a lot of people have trust issues. Here's the definition of trust: a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or strength of someone or something. And a lot of people don't have a firm belief. They don't have a trust in their own family and their own friends. A lot of people have trust issues. But one thing that's interesting to me is how we don't trust the people we do know, but we will trust the people we don't know. My family, we went to Florida on spring break to go see our oldest son, Kel. He's a sophomore in college in Lakeland, Florida, so we said we're going to go see him for spring break. And we were in the Dallas airport, and our flight got delayed, and it got delayed, and it got delayed, and it got delayed. And it was like 12 o'clock at night. It's midnight before we are able to catch this flight. I thought they were going to cancel the flight. But no, we're going to board the plane. And I'll tell you what was going through my mind. The pilot's all right. What they been doing? They been sleeping? Taking a nap? Because I was wondering if the pilots were going to be all right and ready to fly. But come on, how many know I got on that plane and flew? You know what I'm saying, right? I trusted the pilots. And come on, we will trust the Uber driver. We'll trust the Lyft driver. We don't know. Where are you taking me? Are you really taking me to the right location? We trust the chef in the kitchen or the barista in the coffee shop that we don't know. We trust the mechanic fixing our brakes or the tire shop employee tightening up the lugs on our tires. We trust the post office, FedEx, UPS. We trust Amazon to get our package delivered to the right address. Something else that's interesting is a lot of people trust the airline pilot, the Uber driver, the mechanic, more than they trust God. Christians will trust God with their eternity, but not with their life. A lot of Christians have trust issues. People pray the prayer of salvation and trust God with their future, but they don't trust God with their now. They trust God to get them to their eternal destination, but they don't trust God to get them to their earthly destinations. And as we begin this new series, the only way you will stay in your lane and fulfill your God-given purpose is to learn to trust God with your life and not just with your eternity. To trust God with your life, you have to understand a couple of very important theological truths. And here's the first theological truth you have to understand, and that is God has a purpose and plan for your life. If you're going to trust God with your life, you must understand that God made you and that God has a plan and purpose for your life. Church, you're not an accident. You're not here by chance. It's not a coincidence. It's not by luck that you're here. No, God created you. It was God's idea for you to be on the planet. And God has a specific plan and purpose for your life. You have to understand this. You see, people in the Bible understood this very important theological truth. Matter of fact, let me just give you some Bible that this truth will get anchored in your soul. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 2. It says, this is what the Lord says. He who made you, who formed you in the womb and who will help you. Church, God made you. He formed all of us in our mother's womb. Isaiah chapter 49, verse number 1. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, He has spoken my name. God calls people to accomplish His purpose before they were born. God had a plan for you, and He had a plan for me before we ever came out of our mother's womb. Isaiah 49 and verse number 5 says, "And now the Lord speaks, the one who formed me in my mother's womb to be His servant, who commissioned me to bring Israel back to Him." God formed you in your mother's womb, and He has a purpose and a plan for your life. You got to understand this very important theological truth. Job said this in Job 14, verse 5. A person's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. God numbered the days of our lives. And God has set limits we cannot exceed. God has created each of us on purpose and with limits. God has a purpose for me, and He's given me limits because He wants me to fulfill His purpose. I have limits on my life. Like, I can't sing. I want to. I mean, if I was God, I'd make me a singing preacher. I think singing preachers are the best. I'd sing and hoop if I could. I'll fly away, oh glory. I can't sing. You ain't got to laugh. It's just real. I can't sing. I wanted to be 6'9 in the NBA. Brother 6 foot, I didn't make 6'9. God gave me limits. He put limits on my life. Why? Because God has a unique purpose for my life, and He has put limits on my life. And the same thing is true for you. Jeremiah said it like this, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Church, God has appointed you to accomplish certain things and to impact certain people. There are God-ordained appointments for your life. There are experiences and people God has appointed for your life. There are opportunities God has appointed for your life. There are some jobs and assignments God has appointed for your life. Before you were born, God set you apart and appointed you for certain things. He appointed certain things for your life. You have to understand this important biblical, theological truth. The Apostle Paul understood this theological truth. That's why he wrote in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 5. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, was pleased. God set you apart from your mother's womb. And He called you to accomplish certain things by His grace. You got to understand this. I need you to help your pastor preach today. Just look at your neighbor. Come on, look at your neighbor and just tell them this. God has called you to some things. Would you tell them that? Come on. God has called you to some things. You got to understand this. You have to understand this about your great God. Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 10, verse 23. Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps, because we have been created by God, set apart by God, appointed by God, called by God. Our lives are not our own. We belong to God. So we don't direct our own steps. We don't follow our own plans. We want to follow God's plan and allow Him to direct our steps. And today, and throughout this series, I want to look at the life of David. David understood this very important theological truth, that God created him and had a plan for his life. David did not direct his own steps. He followed God's plan and purpose for his life. That's when you see this. David wrote these words in Psalm chapter number 40 and verse number 5. He says, "Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and to tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare." David knew God had planned things for his life long ago. He knew God has some experiences, some people, some opportunities, some jobs, some assignments already planned for his life. And because David had this deep conviction, he trusted God. David wrote these words in Psalm 139 and verse 13, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." He went on and said in verse number 16, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Church, David trusted God because he understood that God knit him together in his mother's womb. David understood before he came out of his mother's womb, God had already had a plan and purpose for his life. And I want you to see today, I want you to see this and how it practically played out in David's life. It played out practically. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, God chose David to be the next king of Israel. And what's interesting about this story is when God chose David to be the next king, David was clueless. I want you to see this in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 1. Just look at your neighbor and say, "I think this dude likes the Bible." Go ahead and tell him that. "Yeah, I think he likes the Bible." Let's look at it together. We're looking at David. Now, understand. I need you to track with me. Understand. David understood what we have to understand. God knit him together in his mother's womb. God had a plan for his life, and David trusted God's plan, and it played out practically in his life. Let's look at it. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." God told the prophet Samuel that he had already chosen the next king, which was David. But David did not have a clue. Here's your big idea. Here's your big takeaway today. You have to understand that God created you and has a plan and purpose for your life. God ordained your days before you came out of your mother's womb. And since this is true, it means God is the one who gives you opportunities. God is the one who gives you leadership positions. God is the one who gives you promotions. Your promotions and opportunities come from God. David understood this. That's why he wrote in Psalm chapter 75 and verse number 7, "It is God who judges. He brings one down. He exalts another." David had a deep conviction that God is the one who promotes. God was the one who removed Saul from being king of Israel. And God was the one who exalted David to become the next king. And what we learn from David is we need to trust God to bring his purpose and plan to pass in our lives. When you really understand this truth, you will begin to trust God at a deeper level because you know he has a plan and purpose for your life. You're confident that your God has opportunities, assignments, people, and jobs for your life. And if you follow God, he will bring his plan to pass in your life. God will promote you. God will elevate you to where he wants you to be if you will trust him. You see, David trusted God. David said in Psalm 22 and verse 9, "Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you. Even at my mother's breast." David trusted God from a very early age. David said in Psalm chapter 71, verse number 6, "From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you." Because David knew God had a purpose for his life, he relied on God. He leaned on God. He trusted God's plan and purpose for his life. One of my favorite verses about David is found in the book of Acts in the New Testament. And it says this in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 36. "Now when David had served," come on, say these next two words with me, "God's purpose." Say it with me again, "God's purpose." "And now David has served God's purpose in his own generation. He fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed." What set David apart from most people is he did not direct his own steps. He trusted God to direct his life. He focused on living out God's purpose for his life. You see, many people don't live out God's purpose for their life. They live out their purpose. They pursue their dream instead of God's dream. They pursue what they want instead of what God wants. They pursue their will instead of God's will. They trust their plan instead of God's plan. People get distracted from their God-given purpose. So many people, they spend their life focusing on a position instead of on purpose. Focusing on promotion instead of on purpose. Focusing on prominence and prestige and popularity instead of on God's purpose. But when you study the life of David, it's a fascinating study. You ought to read this story with me about David. Read about his life as we go through this series. Because when you study the life of David, what's fascinating is you never see him focused on getting a position or prominence, prestige, or popularity. David was focused on living out God's purpose for his life. Check out this verse of scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 5. It says, Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons, I want you to catch that, and his sons, and invited them to the sacrifice. Samuel invited all of Jesse's sons to the sacrifice. Now, at this sacrifice, the next king of Israel was going to be selected and anointed. Now, check it out, what happens next in the next several verses. It says a few verses later in verse number 11, so he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" He said, "Well, no, they're still the youngest." Jesse answered, "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for that boy. We will not sit down until he arrives." Now, question. Why wasn't David at the sacrifice in the first place? He invited all the sons. Did his father tell him not to come? Did his brothers tell him, "Since you're the youngest, you don't need to be at the sacrifice, you snotty-nosed punk. There's no way you're going to be the next king anyways. Going out there with them sheep." I'm not exactly sure why David wasn't at the sacrifice, but what's very interesting to me is David never tried to make himself the next king. He wasn't in the house with the rest of the brothers seeking after a position or after a promotion. David trusted God with his life and his future. He had a deep conviction that what God had for him was for him. As long as he followed God, the Lord will bring his plan to pass in his life. David had a deep conviction that God's plans would prevail. His brothers could not stop David's plan or destiny. They couldn't steal or stop the purpose of God for his life. David had such a deep trust in God. Even after he was appointed, even after he was anointed to be the next king, it's an interesting story. He went right back to taking care of the sheep. He never sought after a position. He didn't try to make it happen. He didn't try to force himself to be the next king. Matter of fact, scripture says in 1 Samuel 16, two verses later, verse 11, so Samuel took the horn of oil and he anointed David in the presence of all of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David. And then the next verse, or a few verses later in verse number 19, I want you to hear what happens with David. He's been anointed to be king. And it says, then Saul sent messengers to David, to Jesse, and said, "Hey, send me David, who is with the sheep." And here's what this story is about. David was selected and anointed to be the next king. The Spirit of God came upon him to be the next king. And King Saul said, "Hey, I want you to go get David and bring him back to me. And when because I need him to play the harp for me." And when they went to get David to come to the king's palace to play the harp for the king, you know where David was? Anointed to be the king. The Spirit of God was on him to be the king. He was with the sheep, taking care of the sheep. He wasn't seeking a position. He was seeking God's purpose. Can I tell you, a lot of us, if we would have been anointed king, come on, somebody. A lot of us, they would have said, "You're going to be the next king." You know what a lot of us would have done?
we'd have changed our name on our social media account. Come on, somebody. Huh? We'd have been anointed. Hey, hey, social media account. The next king. Anointed and appointed. Come on, huh? You know what you'd have done? We'd have tried to help God out. Come on, we would have been focused on a position instead of on purpose. Come on, we would have tried to make it happen. We'd have tried to force it to happen. Not David. David trusted God's plan and purpose and went right back to taking care of the sheep. And now what happens next in the story, it just reveals David's deep trust in the Lord. He went to King Saul. As I mentioned to you, he was tormented by a demon. So he called David to the palace to play the harp. And David obeyed the king's command. And he went to the palace and he played the harp for the king. Get your mind around this. He's been anointed to be the king. The Spirit of God's on him to be the king. And he goes to the palace and serves the king. And when you read the story, what's fascinating is he never tried to usurp the king. He didn't go around telling all the workers in the palace, hey, have you heard? Have you heard about your boy? Yeah, I'm anointed to be the next king. Do you know who I am? You want an autograph before I become famous? No, he didn't manipulate the situation. He didn't manipulate people to try to make himself king. No, he trusted God and served the king. He played the harp and trusted God. He focused on seeking God's purpose, not a position. David had a deep conviction. And oh God, would you help us have this conviction? David had a conviction that what God had for him was for him. No one could stop God's plan and purpose for his life, not even the current king. All he needed to do was trust God and follow God. Some of you today, let me bring it down to where you're living. Let me bring some application here. Some of you are not living out God's purpose for your life because you're seeking after the wrong things. You have the wrong focus. Hey, open your heart and let me minister to you today. Some of you, you're seeking. Your life mission is to seek after a position, a promotion, prominence, prestige, popularity, instead of seeking after God's purpose. Come on, if some of you were honest today, if you were really honest with your pastor, you would say, man, I'm not trusting God. I trust myself. You're spending all of your energy fighting for a position. You're spending all of your time trying to make yourself look good and make others look bad. You're spending all of your time trying to prove yourself to people, trying to manipulate people, manipulate the circumstances, spending all of your time trying to tear others down to make yourself look good. You're trusting you. You're consumed with jealousy and envy. Why does that person have the job? Why do they have that position? I should have that position. I'm better than them. I'm more qualified than them. I got more experience than them. And perhaps all of that's true. It was true for David. I mean, King Saul had a demon, and David had God's spirit on his life. David was definitely more spiritually qualified to be the next king. But his focus wasn't on a position. It was on God's purpose. Here's the question I want you to wrestle with this week. I want you to jot this question down. I want you to wrestle. I need you to wrestle with this question this week. Here's the question. Are you focused on serving God's purpose or your purpose? Are you focused on God's purpose? Are you focused on a position, promotion, prominence, prestige, popularity? Wrestle with this question this week. Do you trust God with your future, or are you trusting you? Wrestle with this question. Are you leaning on God? Or are you leaning on yourself? Do you really trust God? Do you really believe that God created you? Do you really believe that He has a plan and purpose for your life? And are you trusting God? Or are you trusting you? Somebody's thinking today, Pastor, how do I trust God with my future? Pastor, what does it practically look like to trust God with my life? I want to trust God. I'm tired of trusting me. How do I trust God with my life and my future?
Pastor, if I should not focus on position, promotion, prominence, prestige, or popularity, what should I focus on? Help me, Pastor. What should I focus on? Don't miss next Sunday. Don't you miss next Sunday? And don't miss one Sunday in this series. Don't miss one Sunday. Because I'm going to tell you what you should be focused on and what you should do so you can stay in your lane and to live out God's purpose for your life. We're going to sing in just a moment because God's going to minister to you. But here's what I want. Here's my prayer. Church, here's my prayer. May what was said of David be said of you. Here's my prayer for you. Acts 13, verse 36. Now when Samantha had served God's purpose in his own generation, they fell asleep and were buried with their ancestors and their body decayed. May we serve God's purpose in our generation. Church, God has good plans for you. Would you please not leave out early? Church, listen to me. I requested this song. I knew this was going to minister to you. I knew God was going to speak to you today. I knew he was going to let you know I created you and I got a plan and a purpose for you. I got good plans. Trust me. Stand with me all around this building. If you're comfortable, lift your hands to heaven right now and begin to say, God, I trust you. I believe you got plans for me. I believe you created me. I lean on you. I trust you. Come on, church. He's got good plans. Trust him, trust him. Trust him with your life. Trust him with your money. Trust him with your job. Trust him with your kids. Come on, trust him. He's got good plans. I thank you that you have good plans. I thank you that you have purpose for us. You created us. Lord, you have a plan for us. And Lord, if we trust you, you're going to bring those plans to pass. No devil, no person can stop the plan of God if we will lean into you and trust you and follow you. You are a good God with good plans, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. As eyes are closed and heads are bowed, you can go ahead and just be seated for just another minute or so. Just go ahead and take your seat just for a moment, and as you just lock away with God, I'm talking to some people that you're not following God's plan for your life. You're not living out God's plan. You're following the devil. You're following your flesh. You're following what you want. And today you need to give your life to Jesus. He really does have a good plan for your life. He really does want to forgive you of all of your sins. I'm telling you, his His plan for your life is way better than your plan. Fulfilling His purpose is way better than you living out your purpose. I'm telling you, fulfillment is found in following God's plan. And it begins by giving Jesus Christ your heart, giving Jesus Christ your life. And right now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to quit following you and to follow Jesus. I'm talking to some other people that need to rededicate your life to the Lord. You used to follow God, you used to follow His plan and His purpose for your life, but now you're following your plan. You're following your purpose. You're doing things your way, and today is your day to commit your life back to Jesus Christ and say, God, I'm going to start following you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to recommit my life back to you today. I'm so serious about following you. I want to follow your plan. I'm going to get water baptized today. I'm going to follow you today. I'm surrendering my life to you. I'm recommitting it to you. If that's you, as I count to three, you want to give your life to Jesus today. You want to say yes to Him. You want to start following His plan. Quit following your plan. You want to follow His plan. You want to rededicate your life back to the Lord. You want to serve His purpose, not your purpose. As I count to three, shoot your hand high in the air. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer to say yes to Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Just throw your hand up right now. Say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. I see your hand there. Others today. See your hand there. Others today. See your hand there. Others today. Others, just lift it high. That's it. That's it. Others today. I want to serve God and His purpose and His plan for my life. I see your hand there. Others today. Just lift it. Just lift it high. Let me be able to see it. Let me be able to see it. Others today. Just lift it right now. See your hand there. Others today. Others today. I want to serve God, His plan, His purpose for my life. I'm going to ask every hand that's lifted around this building and every hand lifted at the other locations to pray this prayer with me. Confess it with your mouth. Believe it with your heart. God's going to wash away your sins. Pray with me now. Heavenly Father, I turn away from my sin, my plans, my purpose, and I turn my life over to Jesus, to your plan, to your purpose, to your will. And I confess today that Jesus Christ is my Lord and is my Savior. And Heavenly Father, I'm going to live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray.